Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Amazing. Well, this is our final week of our At The Movie series. Hey, have you enjoyed our series thus far? Who's enjoyed our series? Yeah, oh wow, everybody has enjoyed the series. That's awesome. Well, morning everyone. My name is Sadara and I'm one of the pastors here at The Rocks. And it's really my privilege to talk to you this morning on the final week of our At The Movie series. Now, listen, if you're here and this is your first time and you're wondering, this is a church, why are you basing a whole series on a bunch of movies that came out in 2018? Well, let me tell you, firstly, and most importantly, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And who doesn't want to see John dressing up as Ranger John and Captain Canada and P.T. Barnum? That's been brilliant. And hey, for any single ladies out there, P.T. Barnum is currently single. So, you know, if you want me to hook you up, just come see me at the end of the gathering. But mostly, we wanted to do this series because movies are such a huge part of our culture. And the world is increasingly speaking the language of movies because the art of storytelling is so powerful. Now think about it. A great movie can inspire you. It can move you. It can make you think in a way that maybe you haven't thought of before. And that's kind of what we've been focusing on in the last few weeks. Now, if you were here for the past 2 weeks, then you would have heard Pastor Daniel did such an amazing job talking to us about the classic film Jurassic World that I still haven't seen. Sorry, Pastor D, but you did great. And then last week we had Avengers, which was awesome. And this week, I get to talk to you about what we've already said, the smash box office hit of 2018, The Greatest Showman. How many of you have seen The Greatest Showman? Oh, wow, okay. A fair few people, amazing. Did you love it? Yes. Okay. And unanimously, yes, that's amazing. It was so good. Dev and I saw it in the cinema when it came out, and we absolutely loved it. I think we sang the soundtrack to the movie probably about 11 weeks from when we saw it, and Dev was getting really into it. I thought he was going to rent a costume and start doing performances at one point. It was great. He didn't, by the way, if anyone's wondering, but it would have been great. But we love this movie, and the soundtrack is amazing. And you know what? There are so many things to talk about in this movie, so many great conversation points, so many things to tease out and talk through. But I guess for me, as I was thinking about it this week, the one thing that maybe gripped me, the one thing that probably really spoke to me, is best described in this line by the production house, 20th Century Fox. This is what they said. They said, "The Greatest Showman," there it is on the screen, "it celebrates the birth of show business and tells of a visionary who rose from nothing to create a spectacle that became a worldwide sensation." Now, if you don't know the story of The Greatest Showman, if you haven't seen the movie, then you may have got a little gist of it from the trailer that we showed. P.T. Barnum, that's who the movie is about. And it's based on his life story, but it's not all factual. It's loosely based on his life story. And P.T. Barnum was a man who came from nothing. And he made a name for himself by defining entertainment in a way that no one else around him was. And what he does is that he goes into society and he takes those people that the world had rejected, that the world called odd, that the world had not accepted, and he makes a show, a whole show out of them, and they based it on their uniqueness and their diversity. And the show becomes a roaring success. But you see, along the way, P.T. Barnum, he kind of loses his first hope, his first vision that he had. And the fame and the power gets to him, and he kind of loses his way a little bit, and he loses everything. But he does rise from the ashes, and I say rise from the ashes literally because that building burns down. So he does rise from the ashes. And he goes out, and he fights for his family, and he fights for his dream. And indeed, the show does go on, as they say in show business. And now when we're talking about it today, I love this quote because it says, "He's a visionary who rose from nothing to create a spectacle that became a worldwide sensation." A visionary. You know, P.T. Barnum was not just a man on a mission, but he was a man with vision. He was indeed a visionary. And you see, in my life, vision has been an important part of my life. It's probably we're stuck for time, so I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but the power of vision over my life, the power of the mission of God inside me, it took me from Sri Lanka to England and now all the way here to Australia. So when I watched The Greatest Showman and I saw the vision of P.T. Barnum, it spoke to me greatly. And I'm hoping that today I can encourage all of you to think about your own life and what vision might do for you. You know, vision is a picture of the future that creates a passion in people. If you're wondering here, what does a visionary look like? Well, visionaries look like you and me and P.T. Barnum, but their visionaries have a picture of the future that creates a passion in them. And P.T. Barnum tells us this in that song that we just heard, so beautifully sung by the Kosasi family. And this is how the chorus goes. It says, "'Cause every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be, a vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's gonna take. A million dreams for the world we're gonna make." A vision is a picture of the future that creates passion in people. And this vision of the world that P.T. Barnum saw, this picture of the world that he thought could be, it created a passion in him so great, so furious, that it permeated and influenced everything that he was and everything that he did. Because you see, that's what vision does for people's lives. It impacts the way we live and it impacts who we are. And it's no wonder that the Bible then says, in Proverbs 29, it says, "Where there is no vision, people perish." Oh, that's a bit strong. Why does it say, "Where there is no vision, people perish"? Well, you see, vision gives our lives purpose. It gives our lives meaning. It gives our lives direction and discipline. And so where there is no vision, people perish. Because you see, if you don't live for something, you'll end up not living for anything. If you don't live for something, you'll end up not living for anything. And you see, you might be here and maybe you don't believe in God here, or maybe this is your first time and Christianity is something that you wouldn't touch with a barge pole. Listen, you are so welcome here. We're so glad that you're here and we really hope that you enjoy this gathering. But I want to suggest to you that this is important to you whether you believe in God or not. Because if you don't know where you're headed with your life, chances are you'll never get anywhere. We all need a vision for our lives, a picture of where we want to get to, a hope and a dream. And maybe this morning you say, "Well, that's all very well to say, Sid, but I'm not like P.T. Barnum. I don't have a vision for my life." Or maybe for some of us here, we say, "Well, you know what? I've actually lived half my life already. So is this really relevant for me? Do I still need a vision for my life? Do I still need to see a picture of the future? Because I don't know what that looks like." Well, guess what? I have got good news for you this morning. This morning, free of charge, for no extra cost, I am going to tell you what the vision for your life is. It's true. You look at me like you don't believe me, but I'm telling you, it's true. I'm going to tell you what the vision for your life is, and it's free of charge. See, this is why we come to church on a Sunday. It's a bargain, isn't it? It is a bargain. The ultimate vision for your life is to glorify God through your life. The ultimate vision for your life and for my life is to glorify God through our lives. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians in verse 10. It says, "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for what? For the glory of God." That's right. Whether you eat or drink, stand or sit, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Now, whatever that looks like, however that outworks in each of our lives might look different, but you see, ultimately, the aim is the same. We're here to glorify God. And now here's the other thing. The vision of our lives will determine the mission of our lives. Did you get that this morning? The vision for your life will determine the mission of your life. And this is what Jesus tells us in John 15. He says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So there's the vision. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. And that's our mission here. that we bear, our lives bear much fruit, showing ourselves, evidencing that we are God's children, that we are disciples of Christ. You and I are here to bear fruit with our lives, fruit that remains, fruit that lasts, fruit that impacts hearts and souls and minds and legacies that last long after you and I are gone. Now, what could that fruit look like? What does this fruit taste like? Now, I see in food, because I love food. For anyone that knows me knows that I love to eat. And last year for my birthday, Dev and I, we went to Melbourne, and we pretty much spent all of our time there eating. So it was a dream holiday for me. It was exactly how I wanted to spend my birthday. And one of our friends there, he took us out to this really great restaurant. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Dinner by Heston. And it's by this famous chef, Heston Blumenthal. So it was amazing, like so good. An amazing experience. But there was one dish in particular that I've never been able to forget. And this dish is pretty famous, and it's one of the entrees that he serves. And it's called meat fruit. Meat fruit. And basically what this dish is they serve it to you in this big platter and they put it in front of you and it looks like a pear. Like, you know, the fruit, the pear, it looks like a pear. It's shaped like a pear. Its texture looks like a pear. It seems like a pear. There's a little stalk and a little leaf. And for all intents and purposes, this is a pear. But when you bite it, when you taste it, what you taste is this delicious, savory meat pate. And it's so confusing because this plate, it looks like a pear, but it tastes like chicken. Because everything good tastes like chicken. And it confuses you a little bit because you're tasting it and you're looking at it, and those two things are just a little bit confusing. But it's so delicious that it completely overwhelms your taste buds and it revolutionizes everything that you've eaten, and nothing will be the same since after that, let me tell you. If you can taste meat fruit, I'm recommending it to you right now. It revolutionized my palate. I mean, I will pretty much eat mostly anything, but still, it was an amazing experience. But you see, when Jesus is talking about our lives and he says that we're here to bear fruit, I don't believe he's saying, hey, listen, as followers of Jesus, your life should just be a little bit nicer. Your life should be just a little bit better, just a little bit sweeter. No, I don't think he's saying that at all. I think he's saying the kind of fruit that we're supposed to bear is kind of like that meat fruit. The kind of fruit that we bear with our lives should be so countercultural, so unusual, so unexpected, and yet so delightful and so appealing that people come back for more and more because it's something that they've never encountered before, but they want more because why? We're bearing fruit that reflects eternity. Fruit that reflects God. You and I are here to bear fruit, but not just any old fruit. Fruit that reflects the glory of God. But you see, we'll never get to our mission of bearing fruit if we first don't understand what the vision for our life is. And maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, well, okay, cool. Well, I understand that's the vision for my life and that's the mission for my life. But how do I build a vision around this for my life? Now, I think P.T. Barnum tells us in that song we just heard. So what did the chorus go like? It says, I think of what the world could be, a vision of the one I see. A vision of the one I see. You know, right at the very beginning, if we are looking to build a vision for our lives, I believe that we need to have the power to see. The power to see. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 1. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. What does Paul say? I pray the eyes of your what? Your heart. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Because you see, Paul isn't talking about our natural sight here. No, he's talking about seeing with the eyes of the heart that sees far more and far beyond our natural sight can. You know, when we talk about vision sometimes, some people switch off because they get scared. They're like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I think that's reserved for a certain type of person, like Oprah or Steve Jobs or Elon Musk. I don't know about vision or I don't know about mission. But you see, what I'm talking about here this morning is something far closer to home. Because here's what it says in Romans 12. Paul says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as what? An offering. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your eating, sleeping, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. You see, our lives are meant to be a fruit-bearing, glorifying offering to God. You see, what I'm talking about this morning is the power to see that your everyday, ordinary life is an offering that is supposed to glorify God. To open your eyes and see that what you have in your hands, what you have on your doorstep right in front of you is significant and holds so much possibility. You know, every single one of us here, all the way from the front, all the way to the back, every single one of us here has the power to change our world. Why? Because you serve a God, you're a child of God who is big, who is almighty, and who is sovereign, and you are here to bear fruit. So why wouldn't you change the world around you? And listen, you might be here and you're like, well, I'm only 12. That's okay. Or you might be here and you're saying, well, I'm 96 years old. What can I change? Listen, if you're breathing this morning, that means you're supposed to be bearing. Did you hear me this morning? If you're breathing, that means you're supposed to be bearing. Bearing fruit. Fruit that will change the world around you because the Spirit of the living God lives inside of you. So this morning, we don't say things like, well, you know, all I do with my life is, well, I stay at home and I raise the kids. No. This morning, that means, if that's the vision and the mission for your life, that means what you are doing as you're raising your kids is you're raising the next generation of leaders in our country. You are raising the next generation of men and women who are going to glorify God. So that means as you go to the playground, you are salt in that playground. As you go to the doctor's appointments, you are light. You are a force. You're carrying the light and the power and the presence of God everywhere you go, to the pediatrician's office, when you go to the bake sale, in your child's school. You have the power to make a difference in your world exactly where you are. That means your business is not just a business. It means that you carry the power and the hope and the life of the Spirit of the living God with you. So when you do staff meeting, you do it differently. When you approach bankers, you do it differently. You are supposed to be bearing fruit, glorifying God exactly where you are. You see, these things are not just life that just rolls on mundanely over and over again. No, our whole lives, our everyday, ordinary lives are supposed to be a God-glorifying offering that we place before Him. P.T. Barnum said in the movie, "You suffer more from imagining too little than imagining too much." You suffer more from imagining too little than imagining too much. This morning, church, I believe that we need the power to see again. But seeing is not enough. Why don't we see sometimes? Why don't we open our eyes and have vision? Well, I think it goes to this second point, and P.T. Barnum helps us again back in the song lyrics. He says, "I think of what the world could be, a vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's gonna take." To build a vision for our lives, firstly, we need the power to see. And secondly, we need the courage to dream. The courage to dream. Can I ask you a question this morning? You know, when you were about 5 years old and someone came up to you and, you know, as we do with little children, we say, "Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?" Did anyone here say, "Well, when I grow up, I want to be an investment banker"? Not that there's anything wrong with investment bankers. I love a good investment banker. But what I'm saying is, none of us probably said that. I think we probably said something like, "I want to be an astronaut," or "I want to be a ballerina," or "I want to be a fireman," or "I want to be a unicorn or a mermaid." That's what I did. I said I wanted to be a mermaid when I grew up. Didn't happen, clearly. And I asked my little godson this. He lives in England. And a few years ago, I said, Zach, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, Dara, because he can't say Sadara, so he says Dara. "Dara, when I grow up, I want to be the man at McDonald's that makes all the fries." I was like, great shout, mate, you and me both. That's a great job. But you see, what happens to these childlike dreams when we grow up? What happens to those wild visions that we have as children? Well, life happens, doesn't it? We grow up and some of those dreams, well, they die because life gets hard and challenges come our way and trials come our way and the pain of life can kill the dreams of life. Pain comes our way, and that's why I said it takes courage to dream. P.T. Barnum had many obstacles that came before he achieved his vision. There were critics who were shaming him. There was society that didn't accept him. There were bankers who wouldn't lend to him, and there were protesters who wanted to burn him. It takes courage to dream, and it takes courage to keep dreaming, to keep seeing, to keep having faith, to keep bearing fruit, to keep glorifying God. I want to show you a picture. It'll come up on the screen behind me. These are my friends. The one in the wedding dress, her name is Lucy, and the man she's marrying is the lovely Ben, and that's our other friend, Hannah. I used to live with Hannah and Lucy in England for a while, and Lucy and Ben, they got married a few years before Dev and I did, and very recently, as recent as this Monday just gone, the BBC in England, which is the national broadcasting network in England, they did a little documentary on them that was shown on the news, and this morning, I'd like to share a little bit of it with you, so we're going to watch this first clip on the screen right now.
A few months ago, totally out of the blue, Ben Rush had a seizure in bed.
I'm going to dim the lights for this one now. Try your very best to keep your eyes open.
They found a large tumour at the front of his brain. It's clearly visible here. Incredibly, it could have been growing for a decade without him knowing, and he's only 29. Together with wife Lucy, they're coming to terms with the news.
You know, our journey has kind of crossed paths with cancer before. My dad passed away when I was 15 of cancer that started in the gallbladder. So, you know, my mum's not had an easy ride, and to then your son to come and tell you, you know, I've got a brain tumour, it's like, that's an awful conversation to have to go and have, and there's no hiding from that.
You know, I obviously got quite upset, as one would expect, but we both have really strong faith in God, and our immediate response was to pray at that time, which we did. And really since then it's...
From that point on it was just like, we just felt really peaceful about it.
The rest of the clip goes on to explain how Ben has surgery while he's awake, and they remove part of his tumour, but like the clip mentioned, it's an incurable tumour, so he's got some brain matter still intertwined with parts of his tumour. So he's also part of an experiment that they're conducting to make sure that in the future, they're developing a new technology that has certain brain mapping functions. That means that brain surgeons are going to have a lot more control over impairing functions in the future. And so Ben is a part of this study, which is why they did this documentary on him. But here's what I really want you to see. This is how this clip ends.
They both know that at some point, probably years in the future, the tumour will come back.
We had plans before, and kind of those plans remain that, you know, we want to have a family one day, and, you know, you can't let something like this, you know, restrict you from those things because, well, there'd be no point in carrying on, really.
Well, I think your attitude, you know, does you real credit. Dealing with that at such a young age, you handled it brilliantly because it must have been tough.
I think you only get one life, so you have to make the most of what you have, don't you? And I think if you sit around and worry about something like this, then you're only taking away from the joy that you could potentially be having. So, yeah, we're just carrying on, and it's good.
By helping scientists with their research, Ben knows that he's contributed to a new device that will eventually transform the lives of young people who've been told they have incurable cancer but still have lots of life left to live.
I asked Lucy a few days ago, I said, Lucy, I don't understand how you and Ben can be so full of joy and talk about the future and have the courage to dream about a family and to dream about the rest of your lives when he's 29 years old and he's got cancer that's incurable. I don't understand that. Can you explain that to me? And this is the message that she sent me. She said, early on in this experience, before we knew anything about the documentary, God said to me simply, I am giving you a story to tell. When God makes a promise, he really keeps it big time. On Monday, part of our story was broadcast internationally on BBC World to about 60 million viewers. Our God is so good and has given us a mission to do here on earth. And she continues in the next slide. Already we have been able to encourage so many through the story, and we will have lots more opportunities to follow. We're only really just beginning the story that he has for our lives, and there is so much more that he has yet promised us. We can't wait to see what else he will do. They're not even 30 years old. Lucy's a few years younger, actually. She's 27 years old. You know, it takes courage to keep dreaming. It takes courage to keep hoping. It takes courage to keep having faith. It takes courage to keep going. It takes courage to keep seeing possibilities. But you know what the story of Ben and Lucy tells me? It tells me that when you have a vision from God, when you know what your mission is, you have the courage to dream. You have the courage to see the possibilities in the worst of circumstances. Now, I don't believe that God brings sickness into this world, but I do know that he will use every single situation so that your life will bear fruit, just like Lucy and Ben's life is bearing much fruit and will continue to bear more fruit. You know, when we are here, and maybe some of us today, we're at our wits' end. Life has dealt us some hard cards, and we don't know how we're still standing, and we don't know if we have the power to go on. But I'm here to remind you again this morning that the God you serve is a God who loves you, a God who cares for you, and that he has a promise over your life, and his promise is that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So wherever you find yourself, in the middle of your valley, in the middle of your challenge, in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of your trial, I'm here to remind you again that you can have the courage to dream, that you can have courage to hope for the future. You can have courage to see the possibilities in your life, possibilities that are all around you, right where you are, in the middle of your valley. Because you see, here's the thing. There's a whole world out there, a whole city, a whole country out there who needs to see the glory of God. And guess what? You're it. You're it. In Matthew 5, Jesus says that you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So therefore, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. In Ephesians 2, he says that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ before the foundations of the earth so that you could do good works. In 2 Corinthians, it says that you are a letter from Christ, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Listen, you might be here and you might say, I'm at my wit's end. I'm in so much pain. I don't have anything else to give. I don't have nothing to contribute this morning, but I want to tell you that each and every single one of you, in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your difficulty, you are still bearing fruit because you were created to bear fruit. And the vision and the mission of God for your life hasn't stopped. If you're breathing, that means you're supposed to be bearing. The glory of God will be seen through your life because you're here, you're created to bear it, and to bear much fruit. We need the power to see and the courage to dream and the courage to keep dreaming. But you see, seeing and dreaming all by itself isn't enough. Thirdly, to build a vision for our life, we need the faith to act. We need faith to act. Here's what Vance Havner said. I love this quote. He said, the vision must be followed by the venture. It is not enough to stare up the steps, but we must step up the stairs. It's not enough just to look at the staircase and see, oh, wow, these are all the steps I need to step. At some point, we need to start stepping up the stairs. Let's go back to the song, our chorus from A Million Dreams. What does it say? I think of what the world could be, a vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's going to take. And here's our last one. 1 million dreams for the world we're going to make. The world we're going to make. You see, P.T. Barnum, he saw this vision in his head. He saw this picture of the future that created so much passion in him. And what did he do? He acted, he moved, he created the world that he saw in his head. And you know, for us, at some point down the line, seeing and dreaming alone isn't going to be enough. But we have to step out. We have to move. We have to act. And we have to start fighting. You know, some of us here, we're so busy fighting with that we've forgotten what it's like to start fighting for. Did you catch that this morning? For some of us, we're so busy fighting with that we've forgotten what it's like to start fighting for. If we started fighting for something, imagine what kind of world we'd make. Imagine just in this room, if we started working on our marriages intentionally, if we stopped fighting with each other, but instead started fighting for each other, what kind of marriages would we make? What kind of relationships would we build? In our churches, in our schools, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, if we stopped fighting with, but started fighting for, what kind of a world would we make? Because, you know, when you understand that your vision is to glorify God and your mission is to bear fruit on this earth, the why you live your life has to impact the way you live your life. The why you live your life has to impact the way that you live your life. The faith to act, the power to see, the courage to dream, and the faith to act. And I'm nearly done this morning. But I want to show you this next clip because, you know, after an hour and a half of a magical, beautiful story filled with wonder and filled with song and laughter and tears, well, this kind of is how the story ends of The Greatest Showman. So let's take a look at the screen.
Colossal, we come, these renegades in the ring. Where the lost get found and the crown of the circus kings. Don't fight it, it's coming for you, running at you. It's only this moment, don't care what comes after. It's blinding, outshining anything that you know. Just surrender, cause you're coming and you want to go. We're a coming in our heart of life. We're a runaway to run of the night. I said, I want you. Intoxicating you.
Oh, this is the greatest show.
What will you be doing?
Watching my girls grow up. The show must go on.
This is the greatest show!
That's the final scene in the movie of The Greatest Showman. And it's the scene where P.T. Barnum, he takes his baton and his ringmaster's hat and he gives it to his young partner, Philip Carlyle, the guy who comes after him. And this morning, I want to remind us that at some point down the line, you and I are going to have to take off our hat and pass on our baton to the generation that comes after us. And my question for us this morning is, what will we be passing on? What will we be giving the next generation? What will they inherit from us? Are we going to give them our broken dreams and our failed hopes and our lives that played it safe, never having the power to see, the courage to dream, or the faith to act? Or are we going to tell them that, yes, you know what? Sometimes this life is hard and sometimes it tears you down, but it's full of possibilities. This world is full of possibilities, and our lives are meant to make a difference. Our lives are meant to count, and our lives are meant to bear fruit. What will they inherit from us? What are we going to give them? Because you want to know what the greatest show really is? The greatest show really is, it's you. It's your life. You see, your life is a display of the goodness and the faithfulness and the glory and the hope and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the life of a living God. It's your life that's the greatest show, because your life is part of the greatest show of all time, the greatest story that was ever written, the greatest script that has ever been seen, and the greatest show that has ever been written, because your story is part of that great story, the great reality. That God in heaven sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for your sin, so that this morning, today, you can say that you have been washed clean, that your life could bear much fruit, so that your life could be forgiven, that your life would be spent in eternity with our God, so that your life and my life could count for something, that you and I could glorify God with our lives. Your life is the greatest show of all, because it's connected to the greatest show of all time. And this show is not just a show, it's a great reality. That the promise and the purpose of God is for you. Wherever you sit, wherever you are, wherever you've come from, this is your reality and it's available for you. Our lives are meant to bear fruit. Our lives are meant to glorify God. You know, 14 years ago, there were a small group of people that were meeting in Cannington, and they believed, they had a vision that their lives were meant to impact this city of Cannington. And now 14 years later, you and I, we're sitting in this building and I'm standing here preaching on this stage because there were a group of people who believed that their lives were gonna count for something more, that their lives were gonna glorify God, and that their lives were gonna bear much fruit 14 years ago. And now we're living and standing in the reality and a fulfilled promise. And so my question this morning to each and every single one of us is, what's our story going to be like? What show are we living in our lives? What will we leave behind? What will we do with the life that we've been given? Will we find the power to see? Will we find the courage to dream? Will we find the faith to act this morning? What will we pass on to the next generation? What baton will we give them? What ringmaster's hat will we tip them? And this morning, the choice is yours and the choice is mine. The story is being written, but we are a central figure, and how the rest of the story plays out is up to you and it's up to me. So this morning, as we leave here, can I encourage us? Let this not be a message that just stirred you this morning, but may this be something that you think about in the days to come, because we're living in a world that needs to see the glory of God. And God wrote a love letter to the world. And do you know what He did with it? He gave them you. So that you would be the display of Jesus to this world. That in you and through you, the love and the grace and the hope and the salvation of Jesus would be seen. And many people would come to know God through your life. Through your everyday, ordinary, mundane life that is lived as a fruit-bearing, glorifying to God offering each and every single day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.